It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. It's going to be 75 degrees today and sunny, and that's the kind of spring day we want. It's like a Master Sunday. Probably one of the best days in the spring, especially being here in the South. Just got back from a couple days over in Kiowa. Spring break with these kids. Played some golf over there. It was about 50-mile-per-hour winds. 50. Impossible to play for a guy like me. Possible pretty much for anyone, but we're back in the real world here on a Sunday morning. U.S. missile strikes on Syria and Bashar al-Assad. And that reminds us, though, doesn't it, like we needed it, that the world is an incredibly unpredictable place. And I always think of the world and the cross currents that we deal with and we live with, whether it's politics or government or religion or culture, is this aquarium of political or anthropological cross currents. And fortunately, you and I are in the most stable part of that aquarium. And that's obviously right here in the United States, specifically near Augusta National, a place that reminds us of the sheer beauty and the majesty, let's say, of the United States, a place where we have the great fortune to be able to cheer and celebrate and embrace just a game. You know, I was just talking to Scott Slade and Monica Matthews about this morning, that golf is just this game that generates $5 billion a year, by the way, just for the state of Georgia. That's just in the state of Georgia alone, 57,000 jobs. And more than 30 million people watch the Masters final round. And that's today. So if you're a company and you want to sponsor the Masters because they have this special format where they're only going to give you a couple minutes of airtime. So notice when you're watching, you only get it. There's only about 4 minutes of advertising, and that's taken up by just a few of the companies that sponsor the Masters. And by the way, I just pulled up the prize winnings. I'm just talking to Luke Moss here, who asked me how much these guys actually make. Let's just do this for a second, Luke, to answer your question. So it's an $11 million purse divided among all the people, the participants for 2017. So that's up about $1 million from last year. Total purse last year, $10 million. The winner gets $1.98 million. That's about a $200,000 raise from last year. So the winner gets let's call it $2 million, 20 grand shy of $2 million. The runner up gets about $1.188 million. Third place just shy of $750,000. And then you go all the way down the list. Fourth is $528,000. Fifth is $440,000. You go all the way down the list. Number 50. If you're 50 in the Masters today, after the end of today, you get $27,720. Not a bad day, even in 50th place. That's how unbelievably competitive it is to be a professional golfer. But I get back to, so yeah, that's the economics, right? That's the economics that I immediately think about in any event. But it's also this sign of prosperity. When we can enjoy something that's just this game. It's an elegant game. But it's just a game. In 1934, that's the year we started the Masters. And there's been a Masters tournament every year, except for 1943 through 1945, because of World War II. That was a time when the world was so unstable that we couldn't enjoy something like this. And that there wasn't this sense of calm and prosperity. And as scary as the world is today, we have to remind ourselves that we have gone through much darker periods of time. And there's something about sports, though, in general, and the Masters reminds me of this, particularly this week after playing golf with my kids, that we can devote so much time and so much energy into something that in the end is just a game, just chasing around a little white ball. And if we're able to do that, that means times are pretty good. That's really what that means. It means times are pretty good. And maybe that's enough about me talking about golf. It's a funny, and golf is a funny sport for me though, because I grew up with a dad. My father had a disdain for the sport of golf. He thought it was silly. He thought it was way too much time. And it is a lot. It takes up a lot of time. Frivolous game, pretentious yuppie game is what he used to call it. Golf is only for yuppies. And I grew up with this disdain for golf and yuppies. I thought it was like this terrible thing to do in the world. His excuse for not doing something that he really hated to do, he would say, hey, I've got a golf lesson, as an indication that whatever that proposed event was ranked even lower than golf. And that was his way of saying that I really don't want to do it. I don't even want to hang out with you. So it took me years to get over that really misguided dislike for golf. It was a misguided dislike. And it took me years to ever set foot on a golf course at that point. And I finally came around to the magnificence of the game, really because of probably the camaraderie of the sport, the fun of being out there with whoever you're playing golf with. So it's the friends, and now I have four little kids now, and they're all boys. So that's the hand that God dealt me is, hey, look, you got all these boys. You better do something with them. So there are a few things out there that are better that combine sport and competition and time together than golf. So what other activity can bring all of life together in 4 hours so masterfully? And that's why I guess I've gone on a little bit of a tirade on golf on Master Sunday, which is a beautiful day today. By the way, today weather, 75 degrees, sunny, gorgeous. Weather brought to you by Shoemate here on Money Matters. So what are we talking about today? We're going to talk about jobs. We're going to talk about the Rule of 72-2. How do you double your money? It's actually the most popular article in the money section on westmoss.com today. And then we're going to talk about, this is a project that I've worked on for a very long time called the one-page financial plan. We call it the financial timeline. Well, actually, it's called the retirement timeline. And it is a visual way for you in one page to understand what retirement's going to look like at all the key important dates. It's going to be age 60 or 62 or 65, and then laying in all those other dates that really matter financially to you and your family. Maybe you stop at 62 and then you go part-time and you work part-time from 62 to 64, and then the part-time work drops off. Then in 65, you say, I'm going to take Social Security, or maybe a pension kicks in at 65, then Social Security kicks in at 66. And then we have this visual of when these different income streams start to just populate your life. And then in the year 2027, this is how much monthly income we have. And then in the year 2028, this is how much monthly income we have. So we can plan around what that looks like. Then, of course, what I think is the most important part of all this in the retirement timeline is that I have some money today I've been saving. I'm saving another chunk of money every year. I'm trying to grow that savings by a percentage every year in sheer volume because I'm trying to ratchet up how much I'm putting away. And then all of that then in turn has this, let's call it a conservative rate of return, which, by the way, when we go through this, you can choose that. And then that nest egg turns into something that we talk a lot about, and that's this, how do we just safely, without worrying about running out of money, how do you draw down on that and create retirement income? So that is the, on top of all those other income streams that you will have at some point, it's your own retirement income that really fills the gap for most families. And that's, again, a part of the retirement timeline. So we're going to talk about that here today, and I want to walk you through that. And that's going to be on Your Wealth, yourwealth.com. But you're going to hear about so we're talking jobs today, Rule of 72, which is how you double your money. And we're talking about this retirement timeline. Maybe we'll wrap the whole thing in a theme of golf today, but you're going to hear that the March jobs report, so we're moving to jobs now, was this just big whiff. And that was the first story I read on Friday morning. It was swing and a miss, whiff. And I'm thinking, wow, this jobs report is going to be terrible. Instead of the 150, 200,000 jobs per month that we have gotten used to over the last few years now, really it's been years, we had this new headline that was a much, so non-farm payrolls came in at a much less exciting 98,000. 98,000, that's not that bad. There's a 38,000 job revision downward to the prior months. But if you look at the total weather blizzard effect, which is a very real thing in March, where we get much of the country got hammered with a blizzard. If you look at the total blizzard effect, let's call it, it was about 40,000 jobs. So I'm inclined to take the two-month average of February and March and not just look at the March number. And if you look at February and March together, you average the two together, we're close to about 160,000 new jobs per month. That's a more important, that's a more realistic number to look at. And that's where we stand for the last couple of months. And that's fine. That's a good number when it comes to the job market. But because of the way we measure the unemployment rate, so the unemployment rate is obviously its own unique calculation. And how we calculate job numbers in many different ways. You can also see what's called the household survey, which that's what gives us the unemployment, that all-important rate that you see as a headline number. If you look at the household survey, we added 172,000 more Americans had jobs in March than they did in February. But we also had close to 150,000 new people enter the labor force, so that they now become part of the statistic. Hey, I'm looking for work. If you're not even looking for work, you're not employed, but you're not unemployed either. And that's why you hear so much about how many people are trying to get jobs, how many people are participating in the labor force, because it really moves that all-important headline number, unemployment rate, significantly. So because we had more people with work, we had 150,000 people enter the labor force, 145 to be exact, unemployment rate went from 4.7% down to 4.5%. We also had the underemployment rate, the U6 rate, go from 9.2 down to 8.9%. So you're going to hear that that's still not a good number. I'm telling you that it continues to get better and better and better. And we're able to watch the Masters on a day like today, a beautiful day like today. Hey, you're listening to Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Phone lines open. Stay tuned for news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters straight ahead right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning from 9 until 11. And we're talking today, of course, it's the last day of the Masters. Whether you love golf or not, who doesn't love seeing the azaleas around the course? Unbelievable. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We've been talking about this unemployment rate, which is just recent. We just had a report Friday morning. The headlines were that it was a big miss or a whiff, whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you, it was actually a pretty strong report. It was a good jobs report. Unemployment rate goes from 4.7 down to 4.5% so far right now for the year. Yes, we only added 98,000 jobs for the month of March. You take the last 2 months, so February and March together, put them together and average them or smooth them. The average is about 158,000. So we're actually very much moving in the right direction. What is more unnerving for investors is you wake up on Friday morning and you see that we had 59 Tomahawk missiles into Syria. And that's the kind of thing that gets markets nervous. In fact, markets dropped almost 1% late in the night on the futures market. So waking up on Friday morning, my thought was that we'd have a rough Friday. And we ended up pretty much flat. And we ended up pretty much flat for the entire week, too. So for the S&P 500, down a third of a percent. So 0.3% S&P 500 and down 0.03. So virtually flat for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. We've seen bond yields, though, because there is this little nervousness. What do we do when we get nervous as investors? We have a flight to safety. So we start buying other assets that we know we can count on in times of heightened anxiety. And what's that? Well, it's government bonds. We rush into treasury bonds for safety, security. When we do that, we push the price of those bonds up. We push yields down. So even though the Federal Reserve said, hey, we're raising rates probably a couple times this year and likely still two times this year, Interest rates have actually drifted lower in the last couple of months, down now to 2.37%, well below the 2.6%. It was only a few weeks ago. And remember, we were headed towards 3% not so long ago. So we've actually seen a reduction in interest rates, which has been good, again, for bond investors over the last couple of weeks. There's a lot to talk about here today on Money Matters. We're going to talk about this retirement timeline. We'll talk about the good old-fashioned, very important rule that you double your investments over time, the rule of 72. And the retirement timeline, a brand new tool I just launched this morning, today, that we're going to talk about when we're back from news, weather, traffic. Stay tuned for more Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning, 9:35. Beautiful day today, 75 degrees and sunny. And that's the weather forecast. It's really just that simple. Beautiful. Weather brought to you by ShoeMate. And we are back live on a Masters Day Sunday morning here on Money Matters. Now, we've been going on and on about golf and jobs. I want to talk about the rule of 72. We've got a brand new software tool that is live on yourwealth.com that I just launched this morning after a lot of testing. There's still probably a bug or two that we haven't found, but it's up, running, and live, called the Retirement Timeline. I'm going to go into that. But also, because we are live, phone lines now open, we can take your calls and questions, which is my favorite part about Money Matters. I think most people listening, it's the favorite part about Money Matters. There are not a lot of financial shows left in America that take live calls. And we've been doing this for many, many years. I'm in my ninth year with Money Matters. And my predecessor, Mike Cavanaugh, did Money Matters for almost 20 years. So we've been doing this. This show has been on for a very long time. And we still expect to be and strive to be the most objective place you're going to be able to call in on a Sunday morning, or any radio station at any day, at any time throughout the week in America. And the number here in the studio, it's still the same, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. So if you have questions about, hey, I've got a, and this is, I don't know if it's, this is just, be, this is the season of companies giving packages out. It is the spring, and maybe they're getting ready for their fall numbers, but there has been a tremendous influx of folks calling and asking about what they do with pensions. So meaning that, and maybe it's just because it is a complicated question and there's no perfect right answer for it. I have a rule called the 6% rule when it comes to a pension. And when I'm saying pension here, I'm saying, hey, do I take a monthly amount for the rest of my life? I'm age 62. This thing starts at 64, let's say. Or they want to give me a big chunk of money that I can roll into my IRA. What's a better deal for you and your family? Is it the 200 grand that they're trying to say, hey, here's your lump sum rollover? Or is it the 1,200 bucks a month that they'll give you for life? Oh, but let's complicate it a little bit more and say, no, it's only 950 bucks a month if it covers your spouse if something happens to you. And oh, by the way, this doesn't start for 2 years. That complicates it. The spousal benefit might complicate it. All of the other assets that you have in relation to how you're going to have income in the future, that might complicate it. So there, you're whether you're risk averse to investing the money to begin with in the market, that's a question mark. So yes, I've written about this extensively and just published a piece on pensions and which to take, the lump sum or the monthly amount, on westmoss.com under the money tab. And I've also written about this on clarkhoward.com, the pension test, or the 6% pension test. But it's still unique to everyone's situation. So I get this I'm constantly surprised at how many variables people have to deal with. And it makes for a difficult decision. It's a super important decision too. So maybe it's a pension question, you have an IRA question, maybe it's just a product question. Wes, do I have individual stocks? Do I use ETFs? What about these new smart beta ETFs? Or do I stick with good old-fashioned mutual funds, active or passive? There's just so much choice. There's so many things we can choose from as investors it is it's our turn here on Sunday mornings to try to give you at least our opinion and help guide you in one direction or another. Most of these financial conversations I've learned over the years, there's no perfect answer. It's not that I'm going to give you the perfect right answer. It might be, though, a tiebreaker between you and your spouse. Hey, honey, I think we should do this and buy this place on Lake Walloon up in Petoskey, or we should be buying a place in Big Canoe in Georgia. I don't know what's a better deal for you, but we can try to talk it through. And that's kind of the fun part. It's one of the most fun parts about Money Matters and live financial radio. So again, the number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. I know there are a few folks smiling when I said Lake Walloon in Petoskey, Michigan. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are going to go to the phones in just a minute here. I want to quickly buzz through really simple but important rule, really a reminder for all of us why we're investing. You and I both know you sit money in a money market and it's going to be at 0.25 or 0.5% a year. And I've heard some new deals come up that are 1% a year, 1.25%. And that's great. But the rule of 72 is a rule about, it's a great rule of thumb to help you remember, understand how long it takes money to double. So the rule of 72, it's a simplified way to figure out how long it takes an investment to double, given, and you can choose whatever fixed interest rate you want to look at. So you, by dividing 72, the number 72, by the annual rate of return, you can get a general estimate how many years it will take, how many years it's going to take for that initial investment to increase 100%. For example, the rule of 72 states a dollar invested at 10% per year, per annum, would take 7.2 years. So 72 divided by that rate of return, 10%, equals 7.2. So that dollar would turn into $2. It would take 7.2 years to do so. Thinking about this under the Warren Buffett belief that you're going to get, let's call it 7.2% per year, we're taking the inverse of that. It means if you invested $10,000 at 7.2% per year, it would take about 10 years. That's the inverse of that to turn into $20,000. So that's 72 divided by 7.2 equals 10 years. And it's an important reminder to say that, well, here's another example. If you leave money in a money market, my rate of return now is 1. I'm taking 72 and dividing that by 1. It takes, you do the math, takes 72 years to double the money. Very, very different scenario here. And that's why it's important to remember this core rule of 72. It's just math. It's all it is. It's a simple equation, but it's a really helpful guidepost to put what is very much a marathon of investing into perspective. Let's go to the phones here. Again, the number here in the studio, we're live here on this Masters Sunday morning. If you're out headed to play golf or maybe you've just finished up church, we're here to talk about some of the things that maybe are perplexing you, or you've got this financial question or tiebreaker, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go to Stan, who joins us from Marietta. Stan, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on, man?
I've got a question. I steered clear of indexed annuities. And I know you've talked about them for a long time, but we recently were pitched another one which seemed like it was a little bit different. It's put out by Nationwide Insurance. It's called the New Heights Fund. And the interesting thing about it and the thing that's confusing me is...
It's a Nationwide product. And so correct. Nationwide, as in I'm on your side?
Yes, correct.
Nationwide are those... Is it Brad Paisley that does those commercials where he's sitting there and he's singing about Nationwide? I'm not a giant Brad Paisley fan, but that might be the very worst commercial that has ever been made in the history of any commercial ever. And if you're a big country music star, why would you sit down and do a jingle for an insurance company? I hope they are paying him a lot of money because that is the worst commercial that's ever been made, particularly for a guy that's supposed to be talented. Anyway, obviously that one really gets under my skin. So let's go back to this. What is it called? The High Flyer from Nationwide?
No, it's called the New Heights Fund.
The New Heights, okay. Got it.
And it's put out by Nationwide. But what they do is they index it against not the S&P or anything else that I've ever heard of. It's indexed against an index that J.P. Morgan has created called the Mosaic Index. And now they're on the Mosaic too. It's an index that J.P. Morgan puts out. I can't find it anywhere in the financial pages other than being listed on Bloomberg. And one of the questions that I asked about it was, because I'm always interested, if they're going to guarantee I'm never going to lose money, et cetera, then how are they making their money and how are they doing this? And I've been told in the past that what they do is they sell calls, I guess, and so if the market goes down, they're protected, whatever. But then I asked about this Mosaic, and they said, yeah, they sell calls against the Mosaic, but I don't see it being traded anywhere, number one. And then I was told that I can't, because I don't see any option chains for it. And they say, well, only institutional investors can buy or sell calls for this Mosaic index.
You know, I'm reminded of a Curious George film that I saw this week about a magician. And the magician, every trick that he would do, he would distract you and make you look over here while he does something over there. And that's exactly what I think we're talking about here, is that these investments are we're talking about what your rate of return is based upon. They could just as easily base your rate of return on the average time it takes for you to get to work now that I-85 is closed. And meaning that, and I used to say the number of people that go through the 400 toll, there's no more toll anymore here in Atlanta, but the index is actually almost irrelevant, Stan, when it comes to these annuities, because they're basing what they're doing here is they're capping how much you can participate in any sort of number. So it could be the Mosaic 4 index, double hedge inverse cash index. It can be the average number of minutes per month you spend in the car. We're going to give you X percent of those minutes and we're going to apply it to your rate of return. It can be the number of butterflies you see in a given day in Atlanta, and we're going to give you X number percentage of the butterflies that you see and apply that to your Nationwide high flyer account. So it doesn't matter really what the index is. What matters is that is the monthly participation rate or cap that you have in that given index. And again, the index itself, and this is the hey, look over here, why we do something over there, part of these annuities is that they're getting you to focus in on this index as if the index really matters. That's why these products for so many years have had people focus on the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ, which we all kind of inherently know, hey, over time, they do really well. So if I just participate in some of that, I should do well. That's the sleight of hand in this index annuity trick, because you're right when you say, hey, I've got this annuity and they say I can't ever lose money. Well, what's the catch? Well, the catch is you can't really ever make any money either, because you are locked in for usually a decade. I saw one recently, I want to say it was like an 18-year lock-in. 18 years. You can pretty much, you could throw money down the toilet and in 18 years you'll find it again and it's still worth the same amount of money. There's almost no asset class you can find in the stock market, the bond market, the commodities market, the real estate market, that won't at least be flat over 18 years. What the index annuity does, though, again, another sleight of hand, that it allows you, while you're in that waiting period, not to get nervous about the ups and downs. And that in itself, that is maybe one of the merits of a index annuity, that it takes your eye off the fluctuation, even though, which the emotion in investing is usually the biggest variable that hurts you as an investor. So what I'm telling you is that it's probably the same deal where you get a little bit of participation in some XYZ index. This time they call it Mosaic 2, whatever that means. And at some point, you probably don't make a whole lot of money. My preference. If I want to have super safe money, I just build a treasury ladder. Just U.S. Treasury bonds. They pay anywhere from 2.25% to 2.5%. Ladder them out 10 years. That's a way to quote guarantee. As long as the U.S. government stays in business, that's safe money to me, not some insurance product with a fancy name. You're listening to Money Matters, news, weather, traffic, straight ahead, then more of your calls and questions right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters, WSB Radio. Four ways to pay off your mortgage sooner. I think I like that word, sooner, as in book title I did. You can retire sooner than you think. These are things that we're trying to do a little bit ahead of schedule. And one of my favorite relationships in financial planning, and I go back to the psychology and the happiness that we can, or the peace of mind we can have with the decisions we're making financially, has to do with getting rid of your mortgage. And one of my favorite charts in You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think plots out various happiness levels versus years to pay off mortgage. And interestingly, as years to pay off mortgage comes down, so 15 years relative to 7, happiness goes up. And it makes total sense, but to see it empirically is probably my favorite financial chart of all time. Because we know that as the light at the end of that tunnel gets brighter and brighter, the light that says, hey, no more mortgage checks, there's this wonderful feeling of peace of mind. And then financially, to not have a check go out to Wells Fargo or a big bank for $2,000 or $3,000 every month or $1,500, whatever it is, so that you can spend on the things that you want to spend, it's a really, really powerful piece of your retirement timeline, paying off your mortgage. So you can use the 1/3 mortgage rule. So again, the article on westmoss.com, four ways to pay off your mortgage sooner. Number four, the 1/3 rule. It's pretty simple. If you can pay off your mortgage using no more than a third of your non-retirement savings, consider writing the check today. So here's an example. You have $40,000, your home, and you have $150,000 in savings, not including your 401k or your IRA. You're within the 1/3 rule. This means you can safely pay off the mortgage and still have a sizable cash cushion left over. We're going to talk retirement timeline and take your calls and questions when Money Matters returns in the 10 o'clock hour. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.